Thank you, Dick. Well, good morning, everybody. Just as I was getting ready to speak, Mike came up. My niece said this is a great topic for the lawyer to speak on. It's called justification. As the lawyers can justify anything. So we're going to learn a little bit about justification. The title is Justification Through Faith. And this particular chapter deals primarily with the leaders of the faith in the Jewish community. Abraham was one of the great Jewish patriarchs at the time, and he is used by Paul as an example of somebody who had great faith. So I thought I'd open by going over a portion of God's covenant in Genesis chapter 15. It says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You've given me no children, so a servant in my house will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir. A son is coming from your own body and will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to them, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. That's a critical phrase right there. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur and the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought these things to him, cut them in two, arranged the halves opposite of each other. The birds, however, he then cut in half. Then the birds of prey came down on the carcass, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried in good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached the full measure." Then further in Genesis 17, he talks about Sarah. Also, God also said to Abraham, As for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I blessed her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. So with that kind of background, Abraham developed great faith. Then this was carried over to the New Testament in Galatians 3:6. This is where Paul was speaking about using Abraham as an example. He said, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's going back to the verse in Galatians where it said, the Lord credited to him as righteousness. So Paul said, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And would announce the gospel in advance of Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham and the man of faith. Then the other is in James, verse 2:21. You see that faith has its actions in working together. Here we see that in addition to having faith, you're supposed to act on faith. James is the kind of referred to as the book of good works, not necessarily faith. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. That seems to say that we have to have works, but the critical portion that we're studying in Romans is that the real important is to have the faith and the belief and then carry those forth in our individual actions. So referring to chapter 4, I'll read portions of it now. What shall we then say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What the scriptures say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David, another great leader in the Old Testament, says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessedness, Paul is speaking of, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all those who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. He also was the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Circumcision at that time was a physical act, and when he speaks of the circumcised, he's speaking of those with the Jewish belief primarily. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs of faith, their faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgressions. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and not be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom we believe, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and also became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. and that Sarah's womb also was dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief, guarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. That is why it is credited to him as righteousness. The words that was credited to him were written not for him alone, but for us also, to whom God will credit righteousness for us, who will believe in him, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over death for our sins and was raised for the life of justification. So we can see in Romans 4, Paul is speaking and claiming that the most important thing of Abraham's life and the lessons that can be learned is how he was justified by faith. Another leader of faith was Daniel. There's a brief story that's in actually the Daily Bread that I read on a daily basis that I thought would be apropos at this time. When it was learned that the biggest football game of the 2011 season was scheduled to be played on Yom Kippur, the student government of the University of Texas petitioned the school to change the date. They said it was unfair to make Jewish students choose between a classic football rivalry with Oklahoma and observing their most important sacred day of the holy year. But the date was not changed. Even in societies where people have righteous freedom, difficult choices still require every person to make those choices. The best example of this is Daniel and the courage that he demonstrated to obey God no matter what the consequences. When his political rivals set a trap to eliminate him from their path to power, he didn't challenge the law or complain that he had been wrong. When Daniel knew what was written was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with the windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed to give thanks before his God, as it was his custom since the early days. Daniel didn't know if God would save him from the lions then, but it didn't matter. He chose to honor God in his life, whatever the outcome. Like Daniel, we are free to choose to follow the Lord. So it was interesting to see that another great example of faith is what Daniel put in Daniel 6, chapter 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom to over 120 satraps over those 3 governors whom Daniel was one. Thus, Daniel was distinguished himself above the governors because of his excellent spirit. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors sought to find some charge against Daniel, but they couldn't find any charge at all. These men said, "What shall we do? We can't find any charge against Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the laws of God." So these governors and their followers thronged before the king, and thus said to him, "King Daenerys, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom consulted together and established a royal statute to make a decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, the king shall cast him into the den of lions." Now the king established this decree and signed it in writing so that it could not be changed. Therefore King Darius signed the written decree. Now Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went home. In his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times and prayed and gave thanks before the Lord as it was his custom since the early days. Daniel's character was so blameless that his adversaries couldn't find anything to expose or attack him. So they did that by making a man's law. And we all know what happened when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. So Daniel is another great example of the importance of faith and how we're able to rely on faith. I was thinking, and one of the first questions that we're going to talk about is in our groups is examples of showing faith in our own lives. And for many, many years, I was on the board of Heritage Christian School. We had a little small school on Highway 100 between Round Deer and Good Hope. And the school actually had grown quite a bit, and we had to find another site. We had our classes were, we had like two or three, sometimes three classes in one of the big rooms, and they were partitioned off. And really, it was extremely difficult. So I remember as the board, we would see what we considered the leanings of God. One was Hawthorne School, which was a beautiful school that had recently closed at Wauwatosa. This was the dream school for Heritage for the high school. So we were all praying, and we thought this was going to be for sure where the school was going to move. And the Lord threw up barriers, and it never happened. So then we go another year. And Stormith School, some of you may know, over at Bayside. It closed, and it was, at that time, they were interested. We seen the school, and then that fell down. Another year, we had to go with this old place. Then we had a school in Brookfield, same situation. And we all were kind of frankly getting discouraged, wondering what did the Lord have in store for us here? Why were we continuing to experience these hard difficulties? And then something opened up on Brother Wayne Jr. at West Allis, an ideal facility. So you need patience a lot of times, and in this world we don't seem to have very much of that. We're always looking for the so-called quick fix and questioning God, why are you doing this? And sometimes if you're able to kind of sit back and to look for God's good, you're able to see that the Lord has a plan, and that plan is far, far superior to anything that we have. So, Dick gave me a little book to read for my studies. It's by William Newell. I don't even know who that is, but he gave an example, a great listing of faith, and faith and justification. Faith is believing in the word of God, but unbelief questions the certainty of a sin. Faith is the believing of the word because it is true, but unbelief doubts the truth of Scripture. Faith sees a promise of God to help us, but unbelief, it's notwithstanding God's promise, we see how things we would want them to be. Faith makes us see love in the heart of Christ and in his mouth. He gives us reproofs, but unbelief will image of wrath, and his heart does not come, and his moods do not indicate he loves us. Faith will help our soul to wait for God to give, but unbelief will snuff and throw up all that makes God tarry. Faith will give comfort in the midst of fears, but unbelief causes fears in the midst of our comforts. How often do we experience that? We're going through a difficult time. Rather than seek faith, we're looking for mercies and for God to get us out of a particular plan, not necessarily what God's lesson is. Faith makes great burdens light, but unbelief makes light burdens heavy. Faith helps us when we are down, but unbelief throws us down when we are up. Faith brings us nearer to God when we are far from him, but unbelief puts us far from God when we are near to them. Faith puts a man under grace, but unbelief holds the man under wrath. Faith makes our work acceptable to God through Christ. But whatever is, unbelief is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith gives us peace and comfort in our souls, but unbelief works us troubles, causes us restlessness, and tossings. Faith makes us presumptuous in Christ, but unbelief sets no form, beauty, or coming from Him. By faith, we have our life in Christ's fullness, but in unbelief, we are starved and pining away. Those are some examples of how important faith is, how important it is for us to rely and try to seek out the goodness of the Lord. Then I thought I'd conclude with justification. That's a word that gets thrown around a lot. And I'm not quite sure that I understand it all the time, but I found this to be a kind of a definition of what it is and is not. This is what justification is not. It is not a regeneration of incarceration of life in Christ. For although it is justification of life, meaning God will give life to the justified. He is justified both in godly and ungodly. Justification is not a new heart or a changed heart, infinite expression at best, but having no proper definition of justification. It is not making an unjust man just in his life and behavior. And it is not to be confused with sanctification, which is the state of those that are placed in Christ, sanctified in Christ Jesus, and consequently the manner of their walk in the Spirit. What is justification? It's a declaration of God in heaven concerning a man that stands righteous in God's sight. God justifies man on the basis or ground of the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We are justified by His blood, the blood of procuring ground or means of God acting within the person. God was already act judiciously in pronouncing the whole world guilty, now again acts viscerally concerning that sinner who became convinced and convicted of his guilt and is helpless and believes God's word concerning Christ's sacrifice, and thus becomes of faith in Jesus. God's judicial pronouncement now is that believing one stands the righteous life through Jesus. Justification, or declaring righteous, therefore, is a reckoning by God to a believing sinner of the whole value of infinite work of Christ on the cross. And further, is connecting this believing sinner with the risen Christ in glory, giving him the same acceptance before himself as Christ, so that the believer now has righteousness of God in him. So I think you can, the questions have to do with your own experiences. So feel free to discuss them and bring out some more examples of how you were justified through faith. Thank you.